Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom. Welcome to Your Maryland. Kate Clifford Larson's new biography of Harriet Tubman, Bound for the Promised Land, is the best, for my money, of three new Tubman biographies. It is also evidence that history is anything but dry, boring stuff that here and there gets to be brought alive. For example, in April 1860, in the upstate New York town of Troy, an event took place that would stun the nation today. Tubman happened to be in Troy that April when runaway slave Charles Nall was arrested. Nall, with his free wife and six children, had escaped from Virginia and settled in Columbia, Pennsylvania. Sensing the authorities were after him, Nall had gone north, looking for a safer home. In Troy, which had a strong free black community, a wealthy abolitionist had given him a job as a coachman. Before he could send for his family, though, slave catchers arrived in Columbia, arrested his wife, took her to Washington, and threw her in jail. Nall, who could not read or write, hired a lawyer to write his letters to her and to find the means of securing her release. The lawyer instead informed Nall's owner in Virginia. Under the Fugitive Slave Act, the man procured a warrant. In Troy, Nall was arrested on the street as he was buying bread and held at the U.S. Commissioner's office. While an anti-slavery lawyer frantically tried to get rid of habeas corpus, a mob quickly grew outside the commissioner's office. Hearing the commotion, Harriet Tubman joined free black abolitionist William Henry in whipping the crowd into a frenzy. Tubman then pulled her bonnet down low over her face and slipped inside the office where she could see what was happening. Though she was well known in Troy, the local newspaper merely noted the presence of a somewhat antiquated colored woman, standing by an upstairs window where she could signal the crowd. When the commissioner at last decided to take the handcuffed Nall before a judge, a few blocks away, Tubman gave the signal, flew down the stairs, and tried to wrestle the prisoner from the sheriff's deputies as they were leaving the building. Small but powerful, she seized one officer around his neck, only to be beaten down. Again and again she threw herself at the deputies. 20 times the prisoner was taken from the officers, and 20 times they recovered him, a newspaper said. Colored women rushed into the thickest of the fray, the venerable Mall pitcher of the occasion fighting like a demon. Officers dragged Tubman and Nall through the street, trying to separate them, while fending off the now furious crowd. Pistols and knives came out. The Troy Daily Times reported that the venerable old colored woman exclaimed, "Give us liberty or give us death." Tubman, that old woman, also shouted, "Drag him into the river. Drown him, but don't let them have him." At last she pried Nall from the deputies. The rescuers put him on a boat, but when across to West Troy, the authorities there were waiting. They seized him and took him into a judge's chambers on the waterfront. Tubman, the rescuers, and the sheriff's deputies landed a few minutes later and raced one another to the judge's office. The rescuers stormed the building, fell back before a volley of pistol shots, and charged again. An enormous black man named Martin forced his way through the door and was instantly knocked unconscious by a blow from a hatchet, but his body blocked the door open. Tubman and a number of black women stormed over Martin's back and into the office. Tubman later told audiences that she threw Nall across my shoulders like a bag of meal and took him away out of there. Bullets whistled around them as they reached the street. Seizing a farmer's wagon, they sped the fugitive into the countryside and safety. Later, they purchased his freedom. Harriet Tubman was bruised, bloody, and justifiably more famous. The Civil War was one day closer to inevitability, and history had one more dry, dreary, forgotten footnote.